mind and awareness is wherever there is experience. It's inherent in experience. It's part of the experience. It is inseparable from that moment of feeling, knowing, seeing, hearing, thinking. That's the only time there's mind as consciousness, and if we're lucky, that insightful awareness that knows that it's simply a moment of knowing and the experience of that knowing. Anything else is thoughts about it and identified thoughts. These fictitious self-referencing thoughts that I'm knowing, I'm conscious, I'm seeing, I'm experiencing metta, I'm sending metta. Metta is just metta. It's a metta mind moment or metta awareness. It gets a lot more relaxing in practice. And we just lean back into these cycles, waves, moments of metta knowing, metta awareness. And the inside awareness that knows the metta as selfless, thereby purifying it from any self-centeredness or possessiveness or conditionality. It makes it the most expansive or immeasurable, and why it's called sometimes the four Brahmaviharas, the four immeasurables. And the apex or the summit of a metta Brahma Vihara is when all subject, object, sense disappears. And it's just like a fountain of metta, or field of metta, or just a solar radiation of metta. That is the Brahma, metta Brahma Vihara, or karuna, compassion, mudita, empathetic joy, or upeka. So every moment of a metta awareness is further purifying itself, further dispelling the little identifying thoughts, the sense that it has some location in our head or brain, or some sense of it belonging to an I, a me, a self. And then it's inclining toward its own pure summit, the Brahma Vihara itself, and why it's called the Brahma Vihara, a divine abode. We're becoming more well practiced with the various methods or intertwining of methods. At times, it's helpful to use, to borrow a conceptual mirror, a representation of metta in a word or a phrase or phrases, along with the mirror or representation of metta in an image or visualization or felt sense of the metta subject, long enough until we feel those, that initial stirring, quickening, even if it's just moments. Drop the phrase, drop the image, and sink in to that stirring, that quickening, that that ember of light, warmth, metta. And at times, just relying on your inner faith, confidence, trust, and the realization of the power of intention, chetana in Pali, volition, a force of volition that brings about all our karmic activity through the doors of thought, speech, or body. When we feel its potency, can simply, out of trust, call up, may metta come forth, or incline the heart to metta, with or without words, those words. And then it's just the sense of abiding, filling, and radiating the metta heat or vibration or waves, cycles, however it's felt physically, visually, through any of the senses, auditorily. So move in the morning practice, establishing the ground, fundamental ground of metta for yourself, for the field around you, the beings around you, seen and unseen, known and unknown. And if you're using the categories, visiting the categories, now being more familiar with their purpose of purely serving the purification and opening of our own heart. Not concerned about what effect our metta is having on the metta subject, but gratefully and gracefully employing the image, the visualization or the felt sense in service of our metta heart. Then later, by intention, we know we have all that much more capacity to engage our metta in the world. But as a training, understand that it's a very generous and selfless practice in being concerned about our own sense of being, its own purification. And in your abiding after some time, or as you work with the benefactor, metta subject, or maybe another benefactor you've added, or you can bring up dear friend or family members individually or as a group, or begin to explore when you feel the momentum, what it's like to call up a stranger, a metta object toward whom you feel neither strong affection or attraction, nor dislike or ill will. The neutral category. If something's not quickening or occurring after a few moments, just come back to where it is. Like if the pond isn't filling, you go back to the one that's already filled. Try again later. And also, if you wish at some point, 10 or 15 minutes into the sitting, to experiment with the karuna, dhamma, the dhamma, the nature of compassion. It can be just a subtle shift. You can just continue abiding, but with the mind inclined toward this care about pain, care about oneself's distress, anxiety, any kind of suffering, anguish, Traditionally, we choose someone we know who's currently suffering, but that we're not too close to. In the beginning, the karuna object or subject should be not vulnerable to slipping into grief and sorrow, the near enemy. So we just choose someone we care enough about and they're suffering in some way, mentally, physically, spiritually. Not enough food or nurture or love, or they're imprisoned, or even someone who's seemingly happy, but by our wisdom, we know their actions are going to lead them to suffering. These are all capable, legitimate karuna subjects. And then instead of beginning with ourselves in the category method, we call up this suffering being. And it's like our heart resonates with theirs. We feel their anguish. We feel their distress. Not identify with it, but just feel it as if we know it personally. And then we're just wishing them to be free of their suffering without any expectation that they do become free of it. So it's not a commandment or affirmation. That would make it conditional. It's like that fearless presence. We're not afraid of their suffering. Whether it stays or goes away, our task is that pure, compassionate, caring presence. So either calling up the karuna subject or simply in our heart and abiding in the field of karuna, care, compassion. And when we have a sense of being filled with it, feeling it in our body, every cell, every molecule being cared for, we can emanate it, radiate it out to those around us, knowing that all beings are capable and know at one time or another, little or great, anguish, and distress, disturbance, pain, or suffering of some sort. Keep it as close as you can always to the body, so we prevent the meandering mind. We're not doing these meditations purely in a field of thought and conceptualization. We keep it a felt sense, remembering every thought we have, every emotion has its footprints as an immediate correlative physical connection. So to feel everything through the body excludes nothing. You feel it in the body, we do feel the metta, or the anger, or the attached love. We feel the sensations in the body, we do feel the pure care, or the sorrow, or the cruelty. Keep it in the body and keep it in the sense, embedded in the senses. And the Dhamma intelligence, of metta, karuna intelligence, will carry the practice for us. Nothing to do. Just trusting the process. Last moments of this morning's meditation. focus around the solar plexus, heart center. Call up metta and karuna as a pair. In the stillness of silent awareness, one can begin to discern the flavor, the scent, simply by calling up the one and then the other. The felt sense in the body and in the emotional field as well. Intimately related but distinct qualities. The warm, unconditional, connective love of metta. And that powerful, protective presence, fearless caring, wishing that beings be free of harm, of suffering, of all anguish. And just feeling that in the heart, let it then begin to just permeate around from the body to the air molecules around you and the other bodies in the room. And feeling the intimacy and the interwoven oneness of our surround. It is the senses and the environment having never been separate to begin with. And then the realization from time immemorial, we all seek to love and be loved unconditionally, to care and be cared for unconditionally. To just sense the environment, the physical surround and all the beings and the water and the air and the land and the trees. Until in our hearts we hold the jewel of Mother Earth, spinning blue, green, brown jewel. In this vast, seemingly endless space, fragile, vulnerable, magnificent, and strong. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free of dukkha, anguish, suffering. May all beings be liberated.